This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, call the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. You know, every once in a while, you want a diversion. And I have found a diversion that is not a diversion, it's the real thing. It's a book, it's a fictional book, but the author comes from a Jewish background, an evangelical Christian background, and a background of being a researcher for Rush Limbaugh for a couple of years, working for the Heritage Foundation, chief speechwriter for Steve Forbes when he's running for president, then in Israel, senior advisor to Netanyahu, who I believe will be the next prime minister of Israel. And you put that all together, and you have his three sons really push in prayer, and you get, hard to believe, but no, it isn't, because God, you know, if God's doing it, it's not hard to believe. You get a book that was number one on Amazon, 11 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, and it's not compromising on the gospel. But I have the author on the phone, Joel Rosenberg, and we're featuring his latest book. It's called The Last Days. It's 384 pages. You won't want to put this book down. And not only that, you'll want to give it to as many people as possible. Joel, we were talking about so many fascinating subjects, especially from your background, but there's an individual that really intrigues me. You were his chief speechwriter. He ran for president of the United States, Steve Forbes, and you told me he's really a genius when it comes to the economy. What does he foresee in the near future for the United States? I mean, the Republicans tell us that everything is peaches and cream. As far as the economy?
Well, I mean, obviously it's been struggling, and I think one of the things that Steve Forbes has been advocating for so long as a way of lifting off a burden on the economy and just letting it, you know, run fast and free is the flat tax. And, you know, I mean, Steve was, you know, used to talk about we need to take the corrupt tax code and kill it, drive a stake through its heart.
Yeah, but don't ever let that happen.
Again, to terror the American people. And it was a great line. And so I enjoyed, you know, working for him. Now, what's interesting, Sid, I got to tell you, when we did all that travel across America and two presidential campaigns talking about the flat tax, to lower people's taxes, make it simple, we never imagined that the two countries that would embrace the flat tax wouldn't be America, but would be Russia and Iraq. Vladimir Putin in Russia put in a 13% flat tax a few years ago. And now Paul Bremer says that Iraq is going to go with a 15% flat tax later this year. You know, you never know what's going to happen in the war of ideas. So, but look, working for him gave me insight into writing these books, The Last Jihad and The Last Days, because the world is fascinated with this new global economy and what drives our economy. Certainly information and computers, but oil. Oil and gas, and that has long been the weapon of choice in the Arab world, but there are indications that I write about fictionally, but that's based on truth, based on research, that I've been able to do with Steve Forbes and Netanyahu, that there is gas and oil of immense commercial quantities in and around Israel.
Boy, that's going to change the whole complexion of the world.
Everything. And if in the next year or two that gets all proven out, the research and the tests that they're doing, that this is real commercial quantity, imagine Israel being even a potential member of OPEC. Imagine the U.S. shifting our oil consumption from Saudi Arabia to Israel and the Palestinians. this would be the political thunderclap that would just radically change the world. I'm not saying for the better. I really believe it will trigger unimaginable consequences, but I think God will be right in the center of it. And that's what I write. That's where the series is going. The Last Jihad, The Last Days, and the next book I think is going to be called The Last Judgment.
Okay, Netanyahu.
Yeah.
He's another individual that intrigues me immensely because I know there is destiny in his genes. I know that he is not finished as being a leader in Israel. And what's he like?
Well, it was an enormous privilege to get to work for him. I was working with him in the year 2000. And he is a fascinating guy. First of all, just spending time with him personally, he's very relaxed. He's very articulate. Of course, he speaks English so well. Studied at Cornell University. Was the deputy Israeli ambassador to the UN during the Gulf War. Did a lot of TV. Just is an articulate man. He's also one of the world's foremost experts on terrorism. And you know, he was a special forces commando. His brother Yonatan. Jonathan just tragically was killed as a special forces commando during the Entebbe raid to rescue Israeli hostages. But this is a family that knows terrorism. They understand the evils that we face in the Middle East. And I just learned so much by working side by side with him. And I've tried to take what I've learned and weave it into these novels.
You told me that you were actually involved in helping him win his election in the side run that Barack took, and how he lost because of that political maneuver.
Well, it was that was a fascinating time. I don't know how much you want me to talk about that, but he basically, when I got hired on, Netanyahu was tied in the polls with Ehud Barak. Now, there's, like I said to you, there's no correlation to this, but by the end of the time that I worked for him, and I really mean this, I'm not being falsely modest, but it just happened over these next 3 or 4 months. Bibi pulled 22 points ahead of Barack.
That's Netanyahu's Bibi.
Bibi Netanyahu. And was headed for a huge landslide. Barack, cornered, decided to pull a fascinating move, and he basically triggered an obscure part of the Israeli election law that denied anyone but a sitting member of the Israeli parliament from running against him. And Netanyahu was not a sitting member of the parliament at that time. So Barack wanted to shift the election from Netanyahu to running against Ariel Sharon. Sharon was 5 points behind Barack at that moment. But when B. Netanyahu couldn't run, all of his support went to Sharon. And Sharon, who was considered a political dinosaur at that moment, older, you know, kind of a has-been in Israeli politics, ended up winning by the largest landslide in modern Israeli history.
But you know, as history will be recorded, we're going to see God's wisdom for having Sharon in there, God's wisdom for Netanyahu not being in there right now, but coming shortly afterwards. One of the things you talk about in your book, which is another intriguing subject, and I'm really fascinated by this book, The Last Days, because it's just it's so biblical, and yet it's a bestseller, is you talk about the fanatical Jewish group that wants to rebuild the temple, but there's something in the way called, in Islam, the Dome of the Rock.
Right. Well, that's right. And I created a fictional group to do this. I didn't want to malign any Jewish group that honestly believes that there should be a third temple. I believe the Bible makes it clear prophetically that there will be another temple. There's no question about that in Daniel, in Ezekiel, elsewhere, in Revelation. But this fanatical group, extremist, really a terrorist group that I've constructed fictionally in the last days, the Temple Mount Battalion, has decided to force the hand of God, which is always a mistake. And they basically mount a terrorist operation to attack and blow up the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Do you realize if that ever happened, what would happen in the Arab world?
The implications are cataclysmic. I mean, they really would trigger an apocalypse of 1 billion Muslims just enraged and launching jihad against the Israelis. This is why, and I write about this in the novel, that the Israelis defend the Islamic holy lights with their own lives because they know what would happen. Now, I have no idea. I really don't know how God is going to orchestrate history in such a way that that temple will be built. We know it will be, so we just take that to the bank. But there are some who would try to force the hand of God through terrorism, which is just wrong. And yet, there have been several instances like this over the last 20 years. And I write about another possible attempt, and I wouldn't doubt that that might happen in the next few years. Obviously, I hope it doesn't. The things I write about, it's not that I hope happen, but I write about things that could happen, and based on research and based on biblical prophecy.
Well, unfortunately, I believe these things are going to happen. It's just a question of when, but sure, things are speeding up. What's going to happen this isn't in your book, but what do you see based on everything you know happening to the economy of the United States?
Well, you know, it's not clear to me. I'll just be candid about that. Where the U.S. fits in into these coming biblical prophets.
Hal Lindsey tells me that he doesn't see the USA as a factor in last day's events.
Well, this is the way I think it's probably going to play out. At least, I'm not talking about Armageddon. I'm talking about between now and the return of the Messiah and the rapture. And my sense is that the U.S. will be sidelined politically. Like, for example, if Russia and Iran and Libya decided to attack Israel, I'm not sure the United States would step in. Look at the political fallout from taking down Saddam Hussein's regime. Is there political will, if this were to happen in the next couple of years, is there political will in the United States to go defend Israel from a massive multi-fronted attack from Russia, a nuclear-armed country, Iran, which will be nuclear-armed by the time they attack, Libya, which is also developing chemical, biological, nuclear weapons? Are we going to go in there and defend Israel? There's a lot of people that give speeches that say, never again will we allow another Holocaust to happen. But do you see political will in the country right now to go defend Israel under those circumstances?
Especially throw in a big economic decline in the United States hitting all at the same time.
But if the oil market from the Arabs got shut off, if that valve gets shut off, an oil embargo like 30 years ago in 1973, the shockwaves that sent into our economy, it would sideline us.
Joel, we're out of time. Mishpucha, the book is a hardback. It's 384 pages. You won't want to put this book down. It's so fascinating. Buy yourself a present, then give it to someone else. It's called The Last Days, donation of $30 or more. Some of the statements that some of the top secular talk show programs in America are raving about this book, and the gospel is in there. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitza, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 315-21, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.